This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it is Monday. Here we go. The start of another busy broadcasting week.
Oh, it is. It is amazing to me that we have one day left in March after today.
I know. Crazy. So we're a third of the way through.
Yeah. We're a third of the way through 2026 already. May primaries are right around the corner. It's like we're on a bus in the movie Speed and we just can't get off. Come on.
Well, I had a really busy, amazing weekend. First off, the biggest news, and I just real quick, the mustache and I became grandparents this weekend, and we're delighted. So Woo! Mom and baby are doing well. Everybody is great, and everybody is happy, healthy, and beautiful. So we're delighted about that. We spent the weekend in Olympia, mm-hmm. and we all know what happened this weekend. No kings.
Well, another successful rally. We are still without a king.
Still no kings. You did it, liberals. You did it, leftists. So, yeah, so we were over there visiting family and doing some stuff for the business that we run. And, it was like, let's go into town. And I thought, all right. Didn't know really what to expect. I've never gone to one. And so technically we didn't attend it. We sort of drove through it. It was not what I expected. Honestly, it had a kind of a party vibe. And I would say in Olympia, there were hundreds of people there. And the majority of them were protesting. I don't know if they know what, but they were protesting. But there were a lot of Trump people kind of interspersed in there. And I kind of was making contact. I'm like looking for, and I'm like, dude, I see you. All right. And there didn't seem to be too much hostility or anything like that. It was just, but you know what? They're all in weird costumes. They're just not serious people. Well, they really aren't. Because if you ask them, why are you here? Most of them don't know.
No.
I just hate Trump. Well, why? I don't. I just do. Like, that's enough of a reason. So,
well, and that to me is the thing. I sit here and go, out of all of these non-organic protests, because that's what they are. I mean, they want to make you believe that there's, you know, just this is a grassroots uprising and they're so organic and this and that. I'm sitting there going, like 3 weeks ago, my wife actually got a spam text about, will you be attending, trying to recruit people to attend the No Kings rallies.
Yeah.
There was a huge marketing campaign behind this thing.
Yeah, I don't. It's not grassroots. I've got Kevin Sorbo tweeted this out. We now have a list of the No Kings financiers, and the people that are there will glaze over. They don't give a rat's patoot about this. They think it's organic, even though they've got pre-printed signs that somehow magically are always ready to go for whatever the issue du jour is. And they never put two and two together on that. But we've talked about Arabella, and I believe Arabella has been shifting things around. The Arabella Group, which is a far left wing investors and magnates, $79 million, Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, $16 million, the Ford Foundation, which is not Ford Motors, it's super left, $51 million, Rockefeller, $26 million, good old George Soros, $72 million, and then the Tides Foundation, $45 million. So you're looking at, you know, almost $300 million. And he's also got a list in here that's too tiny for my little eyes to read. But this is not grassroots. This is not a movement of the people. They just sort of pop out whatever it is that they're, here's the cartridge for today's protest. Here are your chants. Here's what you say. So honestly, I really was kind of like, God bless them.
Yeah.
That's their First Amendment right to do that. They're not hurting anybody. They're not changing anything. If they want to spend their Saturday doing that, okay.
Yeah. Well, and to me, that's the thing, is I'm sitting here going, if you actually go and you look through some online postings of in big cities, you can find where they're actually willing to pay people to recruit people to attend these things. So it's always funny to me when you get somebody out there on the street going, were you paid to be here? And they're like, no, of course not. I'm here for free. I'm whatever. I'm going, but the people that are recruiting and trying to get people there and sending out mass text messages and all these things, they're being paid to recruit people to join this. So the numbers seem big, because that's all I heard about on the news on Sunday was, oh, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of, or millions of people across the nation were out there. And I'm kind of going, out of all the things we've seen protests for lately, I can live with this one the easiest, because one, everyone knows they're there for no real reason. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have a king. We haven't had a king in this country. And if
we did, they wouldn't be able to do this.
And the funniest part of it all is their own party has acted more kingly and more totalitarian than any Republican ever has.
Exactly. And that was interesting because as we're driving along, I'm seeing people with signs about their Governor Ferguson, who it seems like is pretty almost universally roundly despised by everybody. And I was just chatting with the folks that we were with driving through, and it was like pretty much because with this unconstitutional income tax that was signed, that so it's a thing, it's going to be challenged. And the same thing with Kotek. I think Ferguson had gone to a rally up in the Seattle Edmonds area, so he wasn't down there in Olympia. But boy, the signs I saw, and that was another one. I'm making eye contact, and he's like, "You know what I'm talking about?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." And nobody was giving that guy any grief, and there were a lot of them there who were really. If you want to talk about kings, look to your own governor.
Yeah. Well, and that played out here, from my understanding. I saw an article over the weekend that Tina came out and made her appearance here in Salem, and somebody in the comment section said, you know, I was there and she was booed, and you know that's to me is the thing. It's like they want to focus on one person sitting in the White House across the country, but deep in their hearts they feel it for even the local people. You know, that are driving the death spirals of these, you know, West Coast states.
And honestly, it's going to a No Kings rally is cheap and easy. You don't have to do anything. You put on a frog suit, you put some makeup on, wear a crown. If you want to get attention, you can easily do that. Put a costume on. You're going to get media attention. You're going to have fun. It is fun. There was a sense of like, this is fun, but you're not making any change. You're not affecting any change. You're certainly not changing anybody's mind. And then, but the second you're like, what do you know about your city council, or what do you know about your county commissioners, or even your governor? They don't even want to be involved in that because, and those are the things, it's like, congratulations, you people who are earning over what, $750,000. You just got a nice big heavy tax on you, and you don't seem too bothered about that. And then there are a lot of people that are like, well, we're going to have to move. So again, it's easy to do this. Mm-hmm. It's sort of fun. It's like people who globalize their political activism to something that they can just spout some slogans and feel like they're doing something, but they really don't do anything.
Yeah, that's I think the whole premise behind the No Kings rally, and it allowed people to just go out there in kind of a fun little atmosphere on a nice day.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And feel good about themselves. Okay, and nationwide, looking at things nationwide, during these No Kings protests, I don't see any acts of violence, any confrontations. Nothing widely reported as being, you know, a challenge on either side of the aisle. That, of course, all occurred once sunset, you know, in Portland and other places like that.
Right,
You know, it seems like if you're going to attend any of these rallies, maybe a No Kings one is the one to do.
Yeah. I mean, why not? And again, just sort of a scan of the crowd as we're going through. Again, the demographic is sort of older baby boomer generation. A lot of women. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any persons of color, not that many. And there's some videos that have gone viral of this progressive woman being asked about that. And it's like, wow, lady, racist much? I mean, it was staggering to listen to this woman.
Well, and we've said that for a long time, unfortunately.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
These, you know, awful, the you know, white middle class elderly women who believe that literally believe that they're there to save people of color because they're just completely incapable of doing it themselves. And it just goes to like with the SAVE Act, you know, oh, poor people of colors, they can't go get a driver's license. Find me one who can't. Please
and then
do.
You go the interview where they're interviewing black people in like, I think it was Queens or Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? Here it is right here. Yeah. So it's very condescending. It's very patronizing. It's very racist, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I told the story. I was having lunch with some friends and one of them was a progressive who fully admitted he's a racist. Mm-hmm. I am. I know I am. I'm like, what a weird flex, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know you are, but anyway, it's just funny. And then. But again, it just strikes me as this is party. This is really easy. I can go on a Saturday and hang out with all my girlfriends, you know, and have a little wine in my Stanley cup and I'm good to go. And I'm out there, I'm doing my part. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, fine, mm-hmm. fine. Have fun. Good for you.
Yeah. I didn't even see much reports about traffic being blocked for most of these things. I mean, I'm just going, Yeah. It's like go out and hang out at a park by the Capitol, whatever you want to do, and, you know, have a picnic lunch and hold the sign that you're going to be given for showing up.
Exactly. But maybe a little introspection, pay attention to what's going on locally and see, you know, maybe get a little involved in that. But what am I saying? That's too difficult. too difficult. So anyway, in general, there's a lot of good videos and things like that that are floating around out on X about it. And but the thing, it's this visceral gut hatred for Trump that they have. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the record. I mean, he's not my favorite person in the whole world, but I tried to explain this in conversations I was having. For me, it's the policies. He's not my best friend. I'm not having a beer. Well, he doesn't drink. Not having a cup of coffee with the guy. He's not inviting me over for dinner. I want policies that are going to make my life and my children's life better. If I have to deal with a guy with a bit of a prickly New York personality to do that and mean tweets, I'm fine with that. But this visceral reaction, and then when you ask for any specifics, you do not get any. Mm-mm. So there's no conversation to be had.
Yeah, well, and that's the most challenging part. It's like, you know, I can sit here and say in 2016, he wasn't my first choice.
No,
but when
neither.
It came down to the general election, that's where my vote went. In 2020, that's where my vote went. In 2024, that's where my vote went. Why? Right. Because I look at the alternative and the bad policies we've dealt with, and I sit here and go, yeah, it has to be Donald Trump. And I sit here and I wonder, what's it going to look like in a couple of years when he's not on the ballot? And how are they going to handle that? Are they just going to create a hatred for someone new? Or are they actually going to have to look in the mirror and go, maybe the only reason I didn't like what he was doing is because I just have a distaste for him?
Yeah. So, you know, stop voting with your emotions and start voting with your brain. I wish if we could just make that shift in a lot of people, I think things would be different. But you're right. It's going to be interesting. And then you look at what the Democrats and the damage they can do when they're in the minority, mm-hmm. you know, 5-hour lines at the airport. What do you think they're going to do if they get into the majority?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Think about that.
That whole scenario. seeing some of the videos. Of, you know, ICE agents, DHS being there to help TSA. They are literally handing out water bottles, getting people thanking them.
Saving a baby's life.
As the news is reporting that, you know, they're causing chaos. We need more people out protesting them here. It's like, just be honest with people and realize that you went from 4-hour lines to significantly shorter simply by having more people there to get people through security.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
All righty. Well, gosh, today, a lot of things commemorated on this day, but a lot of weird things. And every day I get this list and I go through it and I go through this day in history. And there's some weird, it's like, who decides what we're going to have a day for like today? National Folding Laundry Day.
Woohoo!
What's the point of that?
That's like an everyday thing at my house.
Well, when you've got like a million kids like you do, yes, you're folding laundry every day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sitting there going, if I had known, I would have used that excuse to make sure I didn't do any folding of laundry this weekend. I would have said, nope. Monday's the holiday. I will save it for then.
I got to do it then. It's also National Doctors Day. I know I'm grateful for doctors over our big news this weekend, so thank you.
That's right. Well, National Pencil Day. That's an interesting one.
I love my Ticonderoga number 2 pencils.
Your Dixon Ticonderoga number 2?
Yes. I love writing with pencils. I do. I love drawing with pencils, too.
Well, you
know. I miss pencils. I haven't used a pencil. I mean, I've got a ballpoint in my hand right now, but I do love a good pencil.
Well, and that's the challenge with the ballpoint is how much scratching out is there and now extra, you know,
like
clutter.
Erasable ink. Remember that?
Yeah.
Sure, and if you want to shred your page.
And this one might be a day or two late, but it's National Take a Walk in a Park Day.
Oh, a lot of people were doing that Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday. Speaking of going back to the pencils, though, have you seen that video on what it takes to make a pencil? Just talking about how when the free market and the capitalist system and all the parts that are involved into making a pencil and how everything kind of works in conjunction together. And it's this beautiful symmetry and everything, you know, from the wood to the graphite, to the metal, to the eraser, to the paint, to everything that goes into just making a pencil. Fascinating.
Well, and that's probably because back in 1858, Philly inventor Hyman Lippmann, he got his patent for the pencil with an eraser, which was later erased by SCOTUS.
They erased his patent. Isn't that awful? And that's in 1858. That's wild.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Oh, well, in 1870, President Grant signs bills readmitting Texas to the Union. And this, again, was in 1870, so post-Civil War, the last Confederate state to return. Texas held out.
Well, and of course, also in 1870, the 15th Amendment was officially adopted, allowing all men of color to vote.
All men of any color, yes. Good. 1939. Okay, I'm a fan. Hold on. Batman makes his debut in the comic book world, Detective Comics number 27. I've said, I mean, I'm a Gen X, Jen Jones, and I loved the 1960s Batman. To me, Adam West is Batman. I don't want to hear your Val Kilmers, your Michael Keatons, your George Clooney's. Ew. It's Adam West, the best.
Well, in reality is here we are, you know, 90 years later almost. And you go, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man are the three comic book characters that are so well-renowned right now that even by putting a name, I mean, I saw over the weekend, there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out from Marvel, you know, in the summertime. And the teaser just dropped about a week ago, and it's already received over 1 billion views online.
Does it look good? I mean, I'm so over superhero movies. Mm-hmm.
I really am. It's going to be an interesting one. I know that you know, Disney Plus Marvel is very much working hard to re-energize the Avengers Spider-Man kind of with X-Men coming in, especially after the success of you know, Deadpool and Wolverine last year, realizing that if they kind of get back to the roots and out of some of these crazy stories and, you know, woke agendas, I'm thinking it's going to be a huge summer blockbuster movie one way or another.
Well, I'm sure hoping. I don't know if Hollywood is capable of learning and tacking in a different direction, but with the success of Project Hail Mary being not woke and being a really good kind of science-y buddy movie with practical effects, let's see more of that.
Yeah, well, and yeah, my understanding is that the premise is going to be back to a street-level hero like he was in the cartoons and everything else that we all kind of grew up with. So we'll see. We'll see what they come up with.
All right, I'm curious. Okay, you got the next one, I think.
All right, in 1943, Oklahoma opened on Broadway, the first collaboration of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Oh, we need more of Oklahoma. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Oklahoma Carousel, all those old lovelies. 1971, Burnt Coffee makes its debut. Starbucks opens the first store in Pike Place Market in Seattle. And now they're leaving. We're done with you, Seattle. Bye.
That's right. I mean, that's why it is kind of considered the coffee capital of the world. Because shortly thereafter, as Starbucks expanded, you had Seattle's Best Coffee and all these other pop-up. And it was always amazed me, you know, going over the years. I grew up there. I go back up there at least once or twice a year to see less and less coffee shops every time I'm there.
Have we hit peak coffee?
Well, I think we've hit bad business in the state of Washington, and that's costing the coffee companies.
Yeah.
All right. 1981, John Hinckley Jr. shoots and wounds President Ronald Reagan.
Oh, I was in high school when this happened. I remember that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And he was trying to impress Jodie Foster. It was very weird. All right. 1987, finally, someone paid almost $40 million for Van Gogh's sunflowers. And it's also Vinny's birthday in 1853. It's always it's pronounced Van Gogh. Van Gogh. Anyway, there you go. That's a lot of interesting stuff. I always love kind of digging back through the weird and quirky things that have happened throughout history. And this one was a pretty good list.
Yeah. But it also goes into everything. I'm sitting here going in 1870. So 150 years ago, we had the right for anyone of any color to vote in our elections. Mm-hmm. And yet we're constantly hearing about how everything they're trying to do with the Save Act and everything else, it's like Jim Crow. It's like, but they were allowed to vote before even, I'm going, what are you even talking about? There's so misleading information.
I know.
I wish people would just look past their nose and realize there's so many.
But I'm going to go stand on a street on a Saturday with a funny sign and sip wine out of my Stanley cup. And I'm doing something. I'm helping.
I know.
There's my Ralph Wiggum's voice.
Like I said, if you're going to choose a rally to go help at, just these No Kings one is just fine with me. Cause you seem to be making a difference. We still don't have a king. So things are really looking up. It sounds so effective when you're rallying against something we don't even have.
Yeah, and don't think. I wish it's not organic. Again, we've run down the list of money, but all of this, it just falls on deaf ears. So you're almost at a point where there really is no point. You just have to outnumber the uneducated, ill-informed, ignorant voter, and you just have to overwhelm them with people that do know. You know, too big to rig in Oregon with vote by mail and everything else. Mm-hmm. In any state, like Trump in 2024, it's got to be too big to rig. It's got to be an overwhelming. And of course, everyone is, you know, talking about the midterms, and we're going to come back and talk about that because those narratives are starting now.
Yeah. Well, and I just get such a kick out of, I actually did see one little interview with one of those crazy younger progressive women who shout, well, if they care so much and they love Trump so much, why aren't they out here protesting too? And I'm sitting here going, why would we come out for a king's rally? We don't have a king. We're not going to have a king. Why would you want counter protesters out there?
There are some people that when somebody puts a mic in front of their face, they should just walk away. All right, we're going to come back and talk about all that on the other side of the news break. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday, March 30th. Wow, all the way through Q1.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, all those companies that, you know, keep track of their profits and losses throughout the year are coming up with, you know, Q1 numbers. If only our government could do the same. Wouldn't that be nice?
Responsible budgeting and transparent reporting. All right. So we talked a little bit about narratives. We're coming up on the midterms. We're coming up, obviously, most states have primaries in May. Most are in May. Some have already happened. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of... the hand-wringing is already starting. The demoralization. There's a tweet, the drunk Republican, who's a great follow out on X. Wonder what he drinks. I should look at his profile. Be wary of, quote, conservatives or Republicans claiming the midterms are already lost. We have months to go, and that sort of dooming only serves Democrat. Anyone worth listening should know better. Listening to. And we're seeing that. We see a lot of that. And we've had many conversations about that. We're going to have a local writer on who's done some writing on his Substack about that, you know, where that's like, it's all rigged or vote by mail. It doesn't count. There's all this fraud. There's everything else. So you get this narrative spun up. And what the problem in Oregon, what you've got is you've got Republican voter apathy. They don't think their vote matters. So, you know, ipso facto, you don't vote. Well, of course, your vote doesn't matter if you don't vote.
Well, and you know, when you go down to the Oregon primary and you realize it's mid-May, you know, we deal with this in presidential years, and we have here at the radio station where we get very excited during primary season thinking we might be able to get a couple of candidates on the air. You know, Oregon might actually matter. But by the time Oregon primaries roll around, a lot of times it's already kind of been determined, and especially Republican candidates don't take the time to come out here knowing it is a blue state and
oh, you're talking at the federal level.
But I sit here and go, and because of those primaries that have already occurred, I think there's been a few throughout the nation. I mean, we talked about, you know, some surprising upsets in California and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the news is hyping up Democrat mm-hmm. wins in primaries as these mm-hmm. big groundbreaking cultural shifts. And I go, that all plays into it as it trickles down to the Oregon level where, you know, we're talking about midterms federally, locally, statewide, everything else, you've already got it, the browbeating of, well, at the federal level, Trump's agenda is turning everyone away and they're just voting Democrat now. And I'm going, but that's not the truth. These are primary elections.
Right. And the poll numbers really don't back that up, depending on what polls you're looking at. And polls, of course, can have a bias. They can skew. You can have push polls that are going to drive you to what, you know, the pollster wants, you know, the outcome. But you don't see that. It really, what it is apathy. And you know, there's a big debate in Oregon about ending vote by mail. And you've got some candidates that are saying there's a petition out there for it. And, you know, God bless you. Go out there, get signatures, get it on the ballot. We'll see. I'm of the opinion that it will not. Republicans and Democrats like vote by mail. It's easy. It's convenient. They're hand ballots. They're counted. There are things in place. Are there shenanigans and crap that happens? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think you're going to get rid of it for the convenience of it. So I don't know. And so there's two schools of thought. Is that a waste of time to do that? I'm not going to weigh in on that. But I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Well, and you and I both know people that have packed up and left this state and they go to another state. And when they realize that they aren't going to get a ballot in the mail and they're going to have to go down to their local polling station, potentially wait in line, it's a bit of an eye opener, whether they're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. Realizing how nice and convenient having your ballot mailed to you, you fill it out and you either put it back in the mail or drop it in a drop box while you're out and about, how convenient that is. And I just don't see even the vast majority of NAVs and Republicans saying, I don't like the convenience of it.
And this wasn't like the gas tax or the wealth tax up there. It wasn't shoved down our throats by legislators. The people voted it in.
Mm-hmm. You know.
So I don't see it necessarily going anywhere. But that narrative being spun that it just doesn't matter. And when you see that coming from conservative or Republican circles, that's very troubling.
Yep.
Very troubling.
Well, and see, so virtually I would predict it this way. Vote by mail in the state of Oregon will not go anywhere unless it becomes a federal mandate.
Right.
And in the Constitution, we are literally, the states are allowed to run their elections how they see fit. So I think that even if that becomes a federal mandate, there is going to be a lot of pushback on the vote by mail system. What I would prefer is saying voter ID is required, which AKA a picture or a photocopy of your driver's license needs to be included when you send in your ballot. I would love that. Because I think that will change things quite a bit in terms of who is actually supposed to be voting versus who just randomly fills out a ballot.
Yeah, it's really stunning to see the leftist, progressive, communist, Marxist, whatever, Democrats against this. And the, and the pretzels they have to twist themselves into to sort of make a case of why being a citizen and having that be the requirement to vote is a bad thing. It's just, it's not, I guess for again, when you've got ill-informed, uninformed voters, willfully ignorant voters, I guess maybe that resonates if you're looking at it from, you know, presenting it from an emotional point of view again. But if you're looking at, you know, most people, the vast majority of Americans are for this. And it's funny. And then sort of they're trying to say too, well, the Iran, what's going on in Iran is going to turn off a lot of people. And it is, a lot of people are, because it's going on longer than they wanted. There's a whole lot to that. But I love this. There's a response in here. I've been saying this for almost a year. Most of these voters are like goldfish. They won't remember a damn thing except who's feeding them come August, September. And then he says Trump knows what he's doing. Because there's always a narrative, you know, did you see what Trump did? Well, that's going to drive people away. And I remember back in the 2015 campaign, he made the comment about I could shoot somebody walking down the street and nobody would. There is a base that is just not going anywhere. The problem is the coalitions that were built in 2024 are shrinking. Mm-hmm. That's a big concern. That's at the federal level.
Yeah. And of course, so I recall now where the question was. It was a poll last week. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Should mail-in ballots have to be received by election day to be counted?
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the results of the poll, but for me personally, yes. There's a reason it's election day. And we've been, you know, vote by mail for what, 40 years in this state. And up until recently, you had to have it postdated and delivered before election day, or at least on election day. And they kind of snaggled it so that now you have like, what, a week to 10 days after to show up if
it
the post date is supposedly on
postmarked. But yet it has to be received.
But see, and there's where my challenge lies, is there's not an election official in every post office in this nation sitting here going, okay, this one got mailed on this day and it is affirmed. We're trusting the post office, which you know, can be a little untrustworthy at times to be the determining factor on whose votes count and whose don't. And I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not either. I merely, if you vote by mail, okay, yeah, but it has to be, you have to have your ballot physically in the elections office by that day. Somebody else is mentioning how social media has really, because if you're, depending on where you're consuming, and again, we're probably in a bit of a bubble as well. I try very hard to broaden out what I'm looking at and follow all kinds of things, but you know, there's definitely, I'm seeing what the algorithm thinks I want to see. And but social media has done that. And when things go viral and a narrative gets put in place and it'll zip around the world, but literally like the other guy said with the goldfish, and then it's on to the next one. Yeah. So the news cycle. So you got a lot of people who are just kind of, they're not even really engaged at all. And then there are the ones that are engaged and are nudged by social media and viral trends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's like it ain't over till it's over. A lot of people are positing that it's going to be, because everyone is saying that it's going to be a blowout, that the D's are going to take it all. I don't know that I see that. They're crazy.
Yeah.
And even their own voters are looking like, y'all are crazy.
Well, I mean,
the transing stuff, the illegal immigration stuff is not flying with everyday Americans.
Yeah. No, and so much of this isn't. And that's why people like Jasmine Crockett lost their primaries. But yeah. I just sit here and go, you know, my frustration here is that for how many years were we able to count our ballots on election day and have results that evening? And yet now we're in the world of technology where everything should go a whole heck of a lot faster. And yet now we're waiting for days on end to find out the outcomes of especially tight races or controversial ones.
In 2024, it was the one House seat. It was in Jervis. I forget the number, 22, I think. Yep. All of a sudden, you have to wait. And then lo and behold, it flipped because it was Tracy Kramer in that seat. She was ahead. And then, boop, it flipped. And that was the one they needed to get the supermajority back. So you look at something like that and you wonder why people are cynical.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is in the early numbers, when you actually looked at them historically, Tracy had enough of a lead that it shouldn't have flipped.
Right.
But yet, but of course, we're also dealing with the 2020 hangover of, you know, what, 16 out of 17 bellwether counties voted for Trump and yet Biden won. So it's those trend breakers that you sit there and you look at extra hard and you wonder why that is. And then it becomes so disparaging because the people with the power to actually look into these things don't.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care in Cozy's New York Deli.
Alrighty, so we were in Washington State over the weekend, and it's interesting because when we filled up our truck and gas is very, very high. It's higher, I think it was $5.29 is the average with a Democrat governor again. And we saw at one station, which is a little out of the way, a little more real. It was $5.79, I think. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. It was almost $100 to fill the truck up. It's like, good grief.
Well, I just sit here and go, and that's another part of that mentality of you can't see beyond your backyard virtually where, you know, yes, we are paying a pretty penny. Mine was more expensive. My truck has a larger gas tank than yours. Filling it up here in Salem was $150. And I just sit here and go, yeah, I feel the pinch. It hurts and I don't like it. But the fact of the matter is when you travel to, you know, middle America where they actually have refineries and they don't have exorbitant taxes and all these other things, it is significantly less still, even with nationally high gas prices because of what's going on in Iran.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And somebody did a little video of the northern sort of Spokane to Idaho and the gas prices on the Washington side versus on the Idaho side. It's about $1.50 cheaper. And all of that is taxes. Yeah. It's all taxes. It's all fees. It's all things that Governor Ferguson, who nobody clearly likes, but yet there he is. He's the governor. So who voted for him?
Sounds a little similar to Oregon.
Well, in Oregon is $4.87. And again, this is Wall Street Apes. Eight states where the average gas price is over $4.20 a gallon. Of course, California at the top with $5.82. You got Washington, Hawaii, Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, Alaska, and Illinois. The only one of those states, Alaska, has a Republican governor. That's surprising that Alaska's that high.
Well, I don't think Alaska has the refinery. So I think it a lot of it comes down into the lower 48 and then is sent back up after being refined. And if they do have refineries, they're scarce. I mean, there's a lot of open area in Alaska. We'll put it that way.
Well, yeah, there is. Somebody coming soon to a gas station near you, gas prices are a regular walk plus walk, mm-hmm. supreme walk. Diesel, holy crap, that's like walk, but that was really expensive. So, okay. You know, you almost have to wonder, is this for a purpose to just get us out of our cars? Is this all part of that?
I definitely believe when you're talking a West Coast state, that is part of the thing. It's not even get you out of the cars, it gets you into the buses.
Your 15-minute city.
So I'm going to tell you one little thing that I have noticed over the last couple of weeks is we have gotten some good weather, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
People on either motorized scooters or motorized bicycles, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of them. And kudos to those people. You're out enjoying the weather, having a great time. We as a state spend a lot of money on creating bike lanes. 99% of the people I saw, I think I've seen one using the bike lane. Every other one was going down sidewalks.
Yep.
So I'm going, why are we investing, taking car lanes out to put in bike lanes in certain places when the people on these motorized bikes, which they're a little crazy at times. I mean, I've nearly seen them get cremated because they're cruising down a sidewalk and shooting across an opening of a business as people are turning in. Not aware of how fast they're actually traveling. And I just sit here and go, of course, the majority don't have helmets on as well. And I am just sitting here going, we spend all this money, but yet they're still choosing to cruise down the sidewalks.
And then how often do you see bicycles in the bike lanes? Almost never. You know what else is interesting, too, if you think about it? When you're talking about bicycles, Republicans are on motorcycles and Democrats are on bicycles. And it's like, just look at that image with their tight neon spandex and all that stuff. And you've got, you know, the Republican dudes. Why is that? Is it I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something to ponder. But the bike lanes are ridiculous and the infrastructure. So you're shrinking the travel lanes to put in bike lanes. And like you said, with the motorized scooters and they don't follow any rules, they're never ticketed. Mm-hmm. Cyclists are never ticketed. They constantly are breaking traffic rules. Yep. And the worst one is when you get a pack of them all in their spandex and their neon, they're just obnoxious, entitled jerks. Oh, I mean, that's been my interaction anyway. That's personal anecdotes.
Oh, yeah,
they're like, you know, we own the road. You get out of my way. No, dude, take your toy and go to the park.
There you go. Or go on to those bike lanes that we were all forced to pay for because, yeah, when you see a pack of them cruising down the middle of the lane at 15 or 20 under the speed limit and refusing
all
to kind of move to the right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Making it impossible to go around them. I'm just sitting here going, and then they get to the stop sign at the T and they just roll right through it. Like they're the only, I'm just going, we see it. We notice it.
The dumbest bike lane I've ever seen is in Salem. I think it's on High Street by where Cheers is, just up from Chira, where it's, you have to park your car on the other side of it. So your car looks like it's just sort of stopped in the middle of the road for the bike. It's just ridiculous. And it looks like, why is that guy just stopped in the middle? Oh, or the Sharrows. I'm not a fan. I never have been. I get a little snarky about it because I've not had good interactions with cyclists.
Yeah.
But so let's shrink traffic, you know, or, you know, we're going to put light rail on the bridges. We're not going to increase the traffic lanes, which would make everybody's life easier. We're going to put light rail on it that most people don't use.
And then we're going to tax your gas. Yeah.
And then we're going to tax you to pay for it, to subsidize it, whether you use it or not.
Yeah. Well, like I said, is when you're talking about states along the West Coast, a lot of these gas tacks are designed for one thing, and that is to force you out of your car, whether it is into mass transit, into the bicycles, or just walking your happy butt wherever you want to go.
And I don't mind walking, but honestly, this country, America, is a car culture. We are a car culture. You look at, you know, you want to walk. Oregon is the huge state. I'm going to go visit grandma on Bend. I'm not walking.
Nope. And a bus trip takes, you know, a full day out of your schedule. And
Have you ever had to take a bus trip somewhere?
Not
like
since
like
not,
a Greyhound bus.
Or? Not since high school. Let's you know, we did some, you know, you've got those opponents that are a couple hours away or something like that when you're
and
playing
you were
high
on a school
sports,
bus,
but you're on
likely.
A school bus most likely. I know that Salem Kaiser does charter for longer trips.
Yeah.
Some nicer buses, but yeah, I mean that's even just that. It's like I've never actually had to travel a long distance on a bus, thank goodness.
I have. I did it one time when I was a teenager. I went from like New Jersey to New Hampshire and it sucked. It was awful. Ugh. I hated every second of it. And I never done it again. So I don't know. And you know, it's kind of hard with train infrastructure. You know, it's like, well, Europe is really small. We took a train from Toulouse to Paris when we were over there. I loved that. But it's a short, you know. And yeah. There is much more of a train culture over there. And we had a blast and we love doing it. And in fact, one of my like bucket list things would be to go on like a super elegant, high-end cross-country train trip somewhere. I would love to do that. But Amtrak in this country? No, thanks.
No. And, you know, and that's the thing is like, so the last couple of years going up to Seattle, the Seattle area for Thanksgiving, we would travel via the light rail, which they've done an amazing yep. job of growing that and making it much more accessible and much easier to do. Mm-hmm. But still, the if we would drop in the car, we're talking a 20-minute car drive. Granted, then you got to pay for parking and all these other things.
Right.
But it's, you know, close to an hour riding the light rail to get the same distance. So it's kind of like, you know, what's your time worth in reality?
Well, people don't tend to factor that in sometimes. I don't know. And then it's just, it's crazy. So shifting gears a little bit, because I did see this story and I would love to, a lot of people are clamoring. You're seeing a lot of lawmakers and Republicans really wanting to see about getting rid of property taxes, again, sort of taxing people, because you really, when you think about it, yeah, my home's paid off. Sure. But you miss a property tax payment, guess who's taking it?
Yeah.
And especially if you're over 65, say, and you're retired and your income's not going up, but your property taxes are. So the House of Florida House just voted 80-30 to eliminate it. I would love to see that catch fire.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Yeah. And then have that. So if you've got a house worth 250 and it was assessed at 250 in 2019, it's assessed at $4,500 or $450,000. Mm-hmm. So again, if you're a retiree and you've worked so hard to pay that all off and you've still got this bill and it goes up every year, not okay. It's not okay. I'd like to see that cash. So good on Florida. I'd like to see other red states take this trend because, you know, the blue ones aren't going to do it. Why would they want to make life easier for grandma?
No. And as we know, you're literally tax coming, your tax going, your tax,
yep.
You know, do you really own your own property? Because
nope.
Like you said, the taxes are right there. You own your own work? No, because the taxes are there. They tax us out here in every direction they possibly can, and yet our services
and it's
get
never
no
enough.
Better. Yeah.
Exactly right. And it's never enough. That's why I'm kind of like, a levy? No.
Nope.
Sorry. A bond measure? No.
Yeah. It's going to take something miracle to get me to vote on any kind of levy at this point in time, because it's like, yeah, I don't need my property taxes going up more. I already pay arm, six legs, and they won't take any of my children in trade. So, darn it. <That's>
And like you said, what am I getting for it? And where all the fraud and some daycare center is getting all my money. A lot of people are a little fed up. So good on Florida. Good on them. Let's see this catch fire. All right. That is it for us today.
Yeah.
We've got great stuff to discuss this week. And so good shows all week. So be sure to join us during your noon hour. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.